Let's pray together. Father, we are just in incredible awe of you for what you have done, what you have accomplished for us. It's our heart's desire to worship you, to honor you, to give you what is due to you for who you are, for your greatness, to glorify you. Father, this is a special day for us as well on our calendar here in this country. We mark this as a holiday, Independence Day. We established ourselves as a nation, and Father, you have given us privileges, great joy to serve and to live as Americans. Father, you have allowed your church to grow here. You have allowed your church to grow elsewhere in the world as a result of the freedoms and the blessings that you've bestowed on us. And Father, we are grateful. You've given us the freedom to worship here this morning. And Father, we recognize that. That's a gift from your hand. Father, we pray that you would be honored and pleased with what we present to you during this hour. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, a week ago, last Saturday, for those of us who pay attention to world events, we woke up and we were stunned to hear, surprised to see, that there were a number of troops, and as we have found out over the course of this past week, thousands of troops that were actually marching and on their way to Moscow. As many of you know, a number of years we spent our lives in Ukraine, and we woke up frequently looking at our news sources and wondering when it was that Moscow was going to march towards us in Ukraine. Well, throughout the course of that day, our family was down in Ohio. We're at a family gathering, and I did something that you're never supposed to do at a family gathering. I kept looking at my phone all day, wondering what's happening and what's going to happen. As we discovered at the end of that day, the troops that were marching north, Yevgeny Prigozhin, those that followed him, stopped, turned around. He found sanctuary and safety in neighboring Belarus. And the question that was on my mind that day and through the course of this last week is, how do you reconcile such an impossible situation? Humanly speaking, there's no way to reconcile such a mess. When we come to the scriptures and to God's word, we look at the conflict and the difficulties and the relationship that existed between mankind and God. And when it comes to reconciliation, God performed a work that was perfect. He reconciled us to himself. We're going to look at a passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And as we take these next few minutes to look at those four verses, we're going to see real agreement with what we've been studying out of the book of Hebrews. We'll make a couple of references there. But in one, let me read through this passage, make some comments as we go through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, on your devices or up on the screen, you can follow along. I'll make some comments as we work through it. And let me make a comment as well before we start reading through. You're going to see that word that I've already mentioned several times, the word reconciliation. The Apostle Paul uses that 13 times in all of his writings and everything that he's written in the New Testament. Guess what? And you can count them as we read through. 5 times he'll use that expression in these verses. How important is that to Paul in this passage? It's primary and it's central, isn't it? So let me read through these 4 verses and then we'll work through them a couple at a time. All this is from God. And we'll make reference to that in a few minutes. It ties back to verse 17. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Notice the tense there. He didn't say he's reconciling or he's going to reconcile or he's reconciled us one time and it needs a little extra work. He's got to do a little more work in the... No. Reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. First time we'll see that expression. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them, and entrusting to who? Us. The ministry of reconciliation. Twice he's used that phrase. We're going to need to define that. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Is that a familiar verse to many of you? Sure is, isn't it? One of those verses that, in my own experience, there are times I look at that verse and I say, oh yeah, I'm familiar with that one, kind of put it on fast forward. We're not going to do that this morning. We need to delve into that expression, ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. We'll talk more about it. So there you go. 3 verses, 5 times. He's used that important term. But there's one more verse in this passage. Perhaps the most important verse relating to the atonement of Christ written in Scripture. Quite a statement we just made, isn't it? It's the basis for reconciliation. Without this verse, without this action, without what God has accomplished through Christ on the cross, reconciliation doesn't happen. Here's the verse. For our sake, he made him, God made Christ, to be sin who knew no sin. And here's the consequence, here's the blessing. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Quite a passage, isn't it? So here's how I'm going to summarize it this morning. Because we are fully acceptable to him. During our sojourn on earth, God gives us a responsibility called the ministry of reconciliation. He gives us a title, a position, and it is an important one called the role of ambassador. And then he gives us a gift, a right relationship with him. And if you're taking notes, there's one more word that you need to add at the end of this phrase, at the end of the sentence. Forever. Is that awesome? A right relationship with God forever. Let's start back. Verse 18, and actually I need to jump into verse 17 to start working through this section here. Verses 18 through 19, that'll be the first set of verses that I want to look at. God entrusts the believer with a ministry of, what's that word? Reconciliation. Go ahead and write that down. A couple of things that we need to look at. First of all, he begins and says, all this is from God. What is this that he's referring to?
Verse 17, a number of us can recite that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation, a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I like the way it's written by one writer. He says, doesn't mean that we're going to live happily ever after we've become a new creation. It doesn't mean that we're going to live this trouble-free existence. Oh, it's all going to be good. It doesn't mean that we're going to be immunized from terrible people in difficult circumstances. No, not at all. We're new creatures in Christ, and that means we're given a responsibility and a title. A title as ambassador. A responsibility to communicate the ministry of the ministry of reconciliation, which is be reconciled to God. Let's talk about that word reconciliation. What does it mean? What it does not mean is this. Well, God has put together two parties that were friendly at one time, ran into a little bit of a conflict, a little disagreement, and now God has just kind of patched it up and put them back together again. That's not what reconciliation means here. Here's what it means. One party was completely hostile, alienated from God, and that was us. Right from the moment we were born as enemies of God, sinful. And in God's justice and in his holiness, he could not interact with us. Something needed to be moved, taken away, and that sin was the barrier between us and God. And he accomplished that for us. Friendly relations now replace formerly hostility. A couple more thoughts here for these two verses. God is the initiator of reconciliation. It was God who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself. All of us, as we were driving in this morning, or perhaps as you're traveling through the course of the week around the city, we live in a large urban area. And if you're like me, I happen to, at times as I'm driving along, I like to look around a little bit. Not too much. Keep my eyes primarily on the road. But I'm fascinated with all the different buildings and all the different structures. And yeah, we have now in our area, even in our immediate area, temples, mosques, Muslim gathering centers, different religious institutions. And the next time you pass by one of those, think this through. Does that religious system serve a God who initiates reconciliation? The answer to that is no. That's what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ so shocking, stunning, so wonderful. Jews think it's a stumbling block for them. To Greeks, it's foolishness that God initiates reconciliation and accomplishes it. One writer says it so succinctly, summarizes these two verses this way. All the other religious systems, they emphasize and they focus on do, do, do. The gospel of Jesus Christ emphasizes this. Done. Finished. What Christ did on the cross, he accomplished it, as John just mentioned, and as we'll look at here in a few minutes, once for all. Complete. His work is done. Not only is God the initiator of reconciliation, man is also, as horrible as this is, but we are the cause of alienation. We entered into this world sinful, unholy, sinners, But there's another aspect of this as well. And it's the character of God who cannot stand in the presence of wickedness and evil. He has to express his wrath toward sin. What does that mean? Alienation. He can't interact with us. We're dead to him in our trespasses and in our sins. And yet, God initiated and reconciled himself to us and accomplished that work. John made reference, we didn't speak before this, but he made reference to Hebrews, and then certainly in 1 Peter 3:18, the one-time work of Christ on the cross. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Brent in Hebrews chapter 10 was in the first part of the chapter, and verse 10, let me read it for us. It'll come up on the screen here as well. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. There's the expression. What does it say? Once for all. Last week, Pastor Brent was in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 12. Verse 12 reads this way, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. There's no need to improve or to update the work that he accomplished 2,000 years ago. Verse 14, Pastor Brent will be in that passage next week. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. This is what he has accomplished. There's one more phrase I should add to our notes. God is the initiator of reconciliation. Man is the cause of alienation. One more thought here in these two verses. Reconciliation is accomplished by God, complete, but reconciliation must be embraced by man. There needs to be that faith response. We'll talk more about that in verse 20. Reconciliation removes the barrier to our salvation. But that in itself does not accomplish our salvation. We have to respond to it by faith. We don't do. We simply trust. In your notes, if you wish, there's another expression that you can write down here. Pretty fascinating. Write down the Great Commission. You go, whoa. Great Commission, that belongs in the writings of Matthew. That's correct. In chapter 28, the very end of the chapter. But what Paul is stating here is the exact same thing. Uses different terminology. He's more succinct in what he expresses. He says, be reconciled to God and take that message where? Everywhere. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the responsibility that we have. Well, let's move to that next passage. Next section, next verse. Chapter 5, verse 20. God established every believer to be an ambassador for his kingdom. And as an ambassador, that means two things. One, you're a representative. This title is simply one of the greatest, most exalted titles that the Christian can claim. As a representative, you speak, well, let me put it this way. Let me put it in a third person. The ambassador will speak wholly for his king, or in present day, for his government, for his president, or for his prime minister. He is the mouthpiece of his sovereign. Now, this is important. He never makes, or at least he's not supposed to, make personal promises. He never speaks on his own behalf, and he doesn't make demands. He represents the sovereign and speaks for him. A few years back, I had the chance, and just because we live in the capital city in Ukraine, we were right next to, not right next to, but close to the U.S. Embassy, and there would be times, just periodically, we had a chance to go inside this huge facility. It was a new embassy was built, 2012, had a chance to be in there. It's one of the largest embassies that the United States has in the world. Huge. I'm there for an event. I was there with one of my sons. And into the room walked the ambassador. I had never met the ambassador. And I thought to myself, awesome, here's my chance. Get a chance to meet him, shake his hands, and tell him who I am. Well, here is the situation with ambassadors. They are in one spot for a few moments, and their schedule is so packed through the course of the day, they will go to another location, to another event, they have another meeting. And he was there for about maybe 30 minutes, and I'm telling you, I did everything I possibly could do to angle myself in there and try to shake his hand. I turned around, looked again, and he was gone. Never had a chance. I was disappointed. Perhaps more in my pride than anything else. But what was fascinating is there was a large room, a lot of people in there, and everyone recognized the importance of that individual. He had direct access to Washington, D.C. He spoke for the President of the United States, or he spoke for members of his cabinet. Let's make the correlation. Here's what God says for each one of us. If you're a believer in Jesus, guess what? You're just as important as that person who I tried to shake hands with a number of years back in the U.S. Embassy in Kiev. You're an ambassador for the government and the principality of the kingdom of heaven. You represent the sovereign, Christ, the King of Kings. You have that much value. You are that important. And here's the responsibility that you have as an ambassador. It's located at the end of verse 20. You are speaking on behalf of the sovereign. And here's what he has commanded you to say to a world that doesn't believe in him: be reconciled to God. And notice how Paul says this. This is fascinating. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ. We beg you, in other translations. Now, in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verses 2 and 3, Paul addresses a matter and an issue where there are those, he doesn't give a whole lot of detail, but there are those in the early church who are actually manipulating the gospel message for personal gain or for whatever purposes. And that's not the situation here. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. That's not what God wants you to accomplish. You don't need to manipulate. But with empathy and with urgency, compassion, plead, be reconciled. Speak to those family friends that you may see on Tuesday, neighbors that you may run across through the course of the week, individuals that God will providentially put across your path in the next week or two. Plead with them. Be reconciled to God. And why do we plead with them? Why? Because there are so many individuals who are going to enjoy, as Brent will preach when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, the pleasures of sin. Oh, yes. I think it is safe to say there are times when sin is quite pleasurable. That's why we do it. Certain amount of satisfaction in it. But as we stay on that course of sinfulness, the majority of us in this room, we know the results. Disaster. You're never reconciled into a right relationship with God. And you are permanently set aside for eternity when your time on earth is done. One more story to tell. I'll have to share it with you another time. But we need to go to this third section. Verse 21, an important, important verse. God declared that believers will remain in a right relationship with Him. We need to talk about this verse. What does it mean when he says, Paul says, He made Him to be sin? First thing we need to say, and we need to clarify, that God treated Jesus as if he were a sinner. In no way did Christ become a sinner. That is just not possible for him on the cross. He's fully God, as we sang. He is fully man. He is complete deity, and yet he's humanity at the same time. And in his deity, he is not able to sin. And yet, this is what he experienced when he is on the cross. He becomes a sin offering, the final and perfect offering. But more than that, here's what happens on the cross. If you can picture or imagine this, all of God's wrath towards sin is focused on Christ himself. No wonder Jesus says, final expression, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine being the object of God's wrath? And that is exactly what Christ experienced for us. He served as our substitute. And as a result of that, we can't end there. We finish with this. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We were once targets of God's wrath, his perfect justice that he would have to exercise towards us as sinners. But now, after he has finished, performed his work on the cross, he has accomplished that. And for those of us who have embraced that, trusted in Christ by faith, we are now targets of his righteousness, a gift that he gives to us. Does that deserve an amen? Let me close and conclude our time in these four verses with this thought, with this reminder. Evangelical Christianity today, one writer puts it, and I thought he did this well. We spend too much time, too much money, too much effort trying to change our culture. Not a bad thing, but it's not the primary thing that we've been placed here to do. We are here as ambassadors for Christ, representatives of the King, with this primary task: preach the Word of God, call individuals to be reconciled to God. Amen? Amen. John, come forward. Conclude our service for us, would you please?